Hare Krishna. So today we're reading from the Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, and we also have an initiation ceremony for Bhakti Nana. So, yeah, Hare Bol. So the Chaitanya Charitamrita reading and discussion will flow into the discussion about the first initiation, if I'm not incorrect. And it will end at 9 o'clock. Is that correct? Okay, thank you very much. We are reading from the Madhya Lila. In this chapter 1, Kaviraj Goswami is giving a summary of the later pastimes of the Lord. And oftentimes we find that Vaishnava authors do give summaries at various intervals. One of the reasons apparently is that none of us knows how long we'll be here for. Srila Prabhupada, for instance, stopped working on the Bhagavatam translations around the fourth canto and wrote the Krishna book as a summary of the tenth canto, fearing that he may not get that far. In fact, he did get as far as the tenth canto, 13th chapter of the Bhagavatam before departing this world. In any case, Kaviraj Goswami admits while he's writing this book that he's in the stages of old age where his hands are shaking, he can barely see, and so forth. It's miraculous how the sound vibration from the spiritual world, empowered message of Krishna, comes through the sincere Vaishnavas. This is the meaning of the Chaitanya Charitamrita. Kaviraj Goswami was empowered by the Lord himself, as is mentioned in the Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita and by the Vaishnavas to write this. And in that way, the great acharyas like Kaviraj Goswami act as instruments to bring forth the pastimes and message of the Lord. Valmiki Muni had become so qualified that practically when he wrote about Lord Ramachandra, it was as if he were in the same room with the Lord while he was performing his pastimes. He was simply writing them down. And we know from the Srila Vyasadeva's description in the seventh chapter of the first canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam how he had been empowered to write about the pastimes of Lord Krishna. In fact, the Srimad Bhagavatam was originally given in a summary form. But when he met his spiritual master, as we can hear from the fifth chapter of the first canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, Narada Muni had appeared because Vyasadeva wasn't satisfied with what he had written so far, which included all the Puranas and the Mahabharata and the summary of the Srimad Bhagavatam. After meeting with Narada Muni, getting the instruction to be more specific about the pastimes of the Lord for the benefit of everyone, as Narada told him that if you don't give the exact details, profuse details, and talk about the pastimes of the personality of Godhead Krishna, then people will simply be enticed by the various offerings in the Vedas, which say that you can attain various material fruits from performing various rituals and so forth. He said, Naishkarmyam apyachuta bhava varjitam na shobate jnanam alam niranjanam kutakpuna shashvara bhadram ishvare na charpitam karma yadapyakaranam. It's self-realization. Even if you attain the path of self-realization, but it doesn't include achuta bhava, or that loving feeling, attachment for the Supreme Personality of Godhead, He's not shobate gyanam alam niran. Such knowledge is not very attractive. It's unenticing. It's not beautiful, shobate. What to speak of, he's a charpita, nacharpita karma yadat yakaranam, what to speak of fruit of activities that are mentioned in the Shastra. Those are simply binding us more and more to the material world. What to speak of vikarma, which is a disaster for the living entity. But he specifically told him, you should speak more precisely, clearly, profusely about the pastimes of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And as we know that Vyasadeva went into a trance, a samadhi, that's described in the 7th chapter, Son of Drona Punished. The first group of verses there are absolutely vital to the tattva of the Gaudiya Vaishnavas, as explained by Jiva Goswami in his various writings in the Sandarbha. And there it's mentioned how Vyasadeva had gone into his trance and had seen the pastimes of Krishna personally, and then had written about them. And I was talking to Kartik Chandra Prabhu the other day, which is always a good idea. And he was telling me some of the commentaries of the previous acharyas describing how this, meaning the Srimad Bhagavatam as expounded by Vyasadeva after his trance, is called Samadhi Bhashya. Bhashya, of course, means speaking, and Samadhi means what you speak when you're fully aware of Krishna and seeing him. Samadhi Bhashya. This is accepted by all the acharyas, the Srimad Bhagavatam, is this Samadhi Bhashya. And interestingly enough, it is said, Amvedmi shukoveti vyasaveti navetiva bhaktim bhagavata grayam nabudhaya na chatikaya. Enigmatic verse, it says, Amvedmi shukoveti vyasaveti navetiva. I know, Shukadev knows, Lord Shiva is saying, I know, Shukadev goes, Vyasa may or may not know the meaning of the Bhagavatam. Vyaso veti navetiva. He may know or not know the meaning. So I was asking Kartik Chandra about the commentaries on, and the acharyas say, well, he was in samadhi bhasha. He's speaking because he's empowered by the Lord to speak. And he said, it's like a radio. Does the radio know what it's saying? It's an instrument. It's speaking, but is it fully aware of the depth of everything it's saying? That's the meaning of that verse. And Kaviraj Goswami similarly was empowered to speak about the pastimes of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. He is known as the Vyasadeva. Of course, these pastimes are revealed through diaries given by some of the Lord's most intimate associates who were writing down everything, some of them in more detail than others, some of them more about his childhood pastimes, and some of his later pastimes. It was all compiled in this way, so that we have a composite view and many of the details of the pastimes of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and his, most importantly, his teachings. For instance, seemingly in their entirety, we have the teachings that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave to Rupa Goswami and Sanatana Goswami. Just those two things alone. What to speak of Ramananda Sambhad, where he teaches, does Chaitanya Mahaprabhu Ramananda Roy, or maybe it's actually the other way around, because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is asking Ramananda Roy questions and Ramananda Roy is answering. But finally Ramananda says, actually, I'm not speaking, you're speaking through me. You're exalting me as a spiritual master, but actually you're the one speaking. I'm just acting like a wooden doll and speaking back. So all these revealed scriptures that we have are the rarest and most illuminating in the whole world. People are lost without them. Otherwise, what you get is CNN And bookstores full of speculative garbage, says Narada Muni. It's absolute garbage. It's what the crows pick through. The only thing worth your time in the human form of life is to read these pastimes of the Supreme Personality of God as revealed through the great acharyas who speak, and the Lord speaks through them because of their high qualification, and because the Lord's chosen them to act as a mouthpiece for the world. And one who receives knowledge in this way, and descending through disciplic succession, can perfect one's life very easily. With that preamble, let's read a few verses from the Madhya Lila. We're on text number 62. Om Jnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshuran Vinatam Jena. Shri Gurave Nama. Nishringananda Brahmachari said, the Lord will go to Kanai Natashala and then will return. All of you will come to know of this later, but I now say this with great assurance. Kanai Natashala, there are actually many Kanai Natashalas. There are places where the Lord's pastimes are revealed through art and sculpture. You see, even in Bengal nowadays, if you go to various places, like, for instance, if you go to the Jagannath Temple in Mayapur, you'll see that there are reliefs showing the pastimes of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu delivering Jagai Madai, benedicting his mother, or releasing her offense to Advaita Acharya and so forth. And the Kanai Natashalas are the place, are designated places where many, many thousands of people would come and see the pastimes of the Lord in artistic ways. When Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu began to proceed to Kulia toward Vrindavan, thousands of men were with him, and all of them were devotees. Wherever the Lord visited, crowds of innumerable people came to see him. When they saw him, all their unhappiness and lamentation disappeared. Wherever the Lord touched the ground with his lotus feet, people immediately came and gathered the dirt. Indeed, they gathered so much that many holes were created in the road. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu eventually arrived at a village named Ramakeli. This village is situated on the border of Bengal and is very exquisite. Purport, Ramakeli Gram is situated on the banks of the Ganges, on the border of Bengal. Srila Rupa and Sanatan Goswamis had their residences in this village. While performing Sankirtan in Ramakeli Gram, the Lord danced and sometimes lost consciousness due to love of God. While at Ramakeli Gram, an unlimited number of people came to see his lotus feet. When the Muslim king of Bengal heard of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's influence in attracting innumerable people, he became very much astonished and began to speak as follows. Purport, at that time, the Muslim king of Bengal was Nawab Hussein Shah, Bada Shah. 169, such a person who is followed by so many people without giving them charity must be a prophet. I can surely understand that fact. That's a very relishable verse, wouldn't you say? It gives, there's a lot of meaning behind that, just in that, what is it that motivates people in this world? And materialists are astounded when they see that somebody could actually volunteer their life. When we were kids out on Sankirtan, all the time, adults would come up to us and say, why don't you get a real job? And what are you doing this for? They couldn't fathom why we were wasting our lives volunteering to distribute books. The Muslim king ordered the magistrate, do not disturb this Hindu prophet out of jealousy. Let him do his own will wherever he likes. That's the Muslim king speaking. Purport, even a Muslim king could understand Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's transcendental position as a prophet. Therefore, he ordered the local magistrate not to disturb him, but to let him do whatever he liked. Keshava Chatrere Raja Varata Puchila Prabhura Mahima Chatri Udhayadila. When the Muslim king asked his assistant, Keshava Chatri, for news of the influence of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Keshava Chatri, although knowing everything about Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, tried to avoid the conversation by not giving any importance to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's activities. Purport, Keshava Chatri became a diplomat when questioned about Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Although he knew everything about him, he was afraid that the Muslim king might become his enemy. He gave no importance to the Lord's activities so that the Muslim king would take him to be an ordinary man and would not give him any trouble. So this is a very tense situation for the devotees. There's a way in which the Muslim king here is taking notice of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, because who wouldn't? There's news of a saint who has come into the kingdom, and tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of people are going to see him. They're following him down the road, and everywhere he steps, they're taking dirt, so much so that there's divots in the road everywhere, actually huge holes. And people are crying in ecstasy just to see him. There are the descriptions in the Chaitanya Bhagavat. When Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went to a particular village, the people, at great risk to their life, they all crossed the river together, tens of thousands of them, some holding on to branches, some onto pots. And nobody knows how they all got across. And then they sat in trees just to get a glimpse of the Lord. No one knows how the trees supported the weight of hundreds of men and women who were looking down. It was all the internal potency of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But what a clamor there was wherever Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went. Actually, everyone in the material world is looking for this spiritual enlivenment. They want to see a quality in someone that is true, that is beautiful, that is unsullied by envy, lust, greed, and so on. In fact, it's the nature of the living entity to gravitate towards authority, because nityo nityanam chetanas chetananam eko bahunam yovidhati kaman. There's a way in which every living entity is, by constitutional nature, a servant of the Lord and subordinate. And kings are supposed to be the representative of the Lord. In fact, further in this conversation, you'll find in the next couple of weeks that Sanatana Goswami speaks about how, or Chaitanya Mahaprabhu speaks about how the king, the emperor, is actually an empowered representative of the Lord. But we find even in politics, modern day, people exalt certain others and put them in a high position, hoping against hope that they would actually live up to their promises and show some good quality. Thousands, they come thronging and sing their glories and chant, and they're happy when they win an election and so forth, only to be disappointed again, of course, by seeing their base qualities. But they do it again and again, do living entities. But imagine when there is actually a pure soul or the Supreme Personality of Godhead himself acting as a saint who comes, and why wouldn't the people go wild in ecstasy? If they do so at political rallies, when the real thing is there, imagine what the fervor is, or what the emotion is that's being drawn out, that here it is, actually, here's the Personality of Godhead, and they're feeling it, and it brings out the emotions of everyone. So the king is there, and of course the king is empowered, otherwise how would he be in that position? But still, if one is in a position of power and is not pure, is not thinking oneself a servant leader, then there's a tendency to become envious of others. So, I have to maintain my position. In fact, Michael's Iron Laws of Oligarchy state that when people get into power, then they use all of their energies not to do their duty anymore, but simply to stay in power. And the studies have been done, sociological studies by Michaels, of course, who made the law called the Iron Law of Oligarchy, that people just try to stay in power and protect in any way they can, because it's such a sweet taste to have absolute power, or any power for little Jiva. He gets intoxicated by it. So the situation here is that the king is momentarily also very much taken with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and amazed that has all these followers. And he's actually thinking, yeah, this must be the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Around him, however, are these very qualified Hindu ministers, because they were the ones that would minister to the king. They were from Brahmin caste, and they were very smart. They knew how to do things. So these Muslim kings would employ them to get stuff done. It's like Rupa and Sanatan were chief ministers and advisors to the king. And here, Keshava Chatri, he's playing down Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's being in the neighborhoods. And it's no big deal, because he fears that the king, he'll get enamored, and then suddenly he'll change course. And he'll say, yeah, but, you know, he's taking up a lot of oxygen here. And this is my oxygen. And he'll become inimical towards him. So this was the prerogative of Keshava Chatri. And this is a kind of fear that arises often around the pastimes of the Lord. Of course, we know when Krishna was born to Vasudeva and Devaki, there was so much fear. That fear that at any moment Kamsa would come and apprehend the child and kill it. After all, he'd killed six of the children of Devaki, one after another. Interestingly, about this fear, Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur says, Prabhupada quotes in the 10th canto, first chapter, that when Devaki was living in fear, that this represents, actually, Devaki represents the place where bhakti appears. And that the six sons that were born to her, one after another, represented the six qualities that block our bhakti. That's kama, krodha, lobha, moha, mada, matsarya. These are little characters. You don't want them in your house. And so they were the Shadgarbha Asuras, the sons of Devaki, had previously been cursed to take birth and then be killed one after another. But it was part of the Lord's divine Leela that they would be killed. And Vishwanath says that the fear of Devaki represents the fear that the bhakta should have of material existence. And by having this intense fear of falling back down again into the material existence, this burns up these six bad qualities that block us from our bhakti. Prahlad Maharaj, just after the appearance of Lord Nrsingadev, said that everybody's afraid of you. Even the elephants are fleeing in all directions. And these are these divine elephants that are protecting the universe in various corners. And even they're scared of your roaring sound. He said, but I'm not afraid of that. I'm not afraid of you. Your fierceness, your sharp teeth, your wedge-like ears, your garland of intestines and the blood doesn't scare me at all. He said, what really scares me is your Vishnu Maya, is the external energy and how dangerous it is. And here it is mentioned that one should be afraid of Maya. And Prabhupada once said this, that the problem with my disciples, they're not afraid enough of Maya. And so it's fear, Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur said, is a healthy thing. And we find around the pastimes of the Lord, of course, the Lord's self-sufficient. No one can kill him. But to intensify the Leela, there's this sense that at any time, anything could happen. Devaki, Vasudev, they wanted Krishna immediately to assume the form of a baby and take him to Gokula and so forth. So around the pastimes here, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and you find it in many places in the Chaitanya Charitamrita and the Chaitanya Bhagavat, where this seems to be a tenuous situation. At any moment, they could be apprehended by the government. After all, it's couched in an environment where the government is not favorable to Krishna consciousness. How many times have we seen that? Devotees in a situation where their lives are in danger even. This intensifies the situation. So you can imagine this, how the devotees are feeling. And just after this incident with the Keshava Chatri, Rupa and Sanatan go to visit Chaitanya Mahaprabhu at that place, and they surrender to him. And then they advise him. Does Sanatan Goswami says, "My Lord, it's probably not a good idea to stay here. And also, probably you shouldn't travel to Vrindavan with these tens of thousands of people." And Mahaprabhu accepted his advice. Later on, he mentions to Jagadananda, who had instructed Sanatan Goswami that you should go to Vrindavan, he said, "This Jagadananda, he's just a boy. What does he know? You're like his spiritual master." "He's like my spiritual master," he said. He instructed me not to go to Vrindavan with so many followers and so forth. And then, of course, we get a little after that, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu instructs Sanatana and Rupa Goswami. Rupa for 10 days and Sanatana Goswami for 2 months sat and delivered. And all that's available in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, the Madhyalila. So how does this all relate to today's very special occasion? And what is the normal procedure here as far as the initiate goes? Shouldn't she be sitting in a special place for the lecture and things like that? Well, where would you like her to sit? There? Could she start over there so she could see the audience for starters? Would you feel terribly inconvenienced at this point to come in and sit here? Because we're sort of in the midst of the initiation ceremony, and it might be helpful if you're there. Please welcome her. But a little more than that, because it's getting initiated. Okay, you want to put her neck beads on now? Okay. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Oh, confirming that we have them. All right. And I might slide back a foot because I can't see her conveniently, and I want to be able to see her when I'm talking. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. What is the exact timing? Like, how much time do you need to do the yoga? And when does that start?
35 plus on yoga.
Okay. Simple procedure. Okay. Hare Krishna. Bhakti Nana, we are exhilarated to see you sitting here in this situation, ready to make vows. These vows are extremely consequential. In fact, what we speak in our lives, there's an old saying, your word is your bond. The speaking of Brahma, in fact, at the beginning of creation, manifests various parts of the universe. And the Vedas themselves say, anavriti shabdat. In fact, anavriti shabdat means that by the transcendental sound vibration, one becomes uncovered. And so the initiation into the Harinam is especially meaningful in that we're recognizing that the Lord has appeared in this world in his holy name. We get this information from the Srimad Bhagavatam. Etan nirvidyamananam ichatamakutobhayam yoginam ripanirnitam harirnamanukirtanam. Shukadev Goswami says that the holy name is good for everybody. He says that ichatam, if you're full of desire, or if you don't have any desire, whatever situation of life you're in, you can take shelter of the holy name and depend on its potency to deliver you from the material world. Yoginam ripanirnitam. If you're a yogi, you can chant the holy name of the Lord. Harirnamanukirtana. This follows in the footsteps of the previous acharyas who have very strong opinions about the potency of chanting Hare Krishna. In fact, Devahuti in the third canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam says, Aho batashva pachato gariyanya jiva gre vartate namatubhyam te pustapaste juhuvu sasna arya brahmanatur nama grananti yete. Oh, how wonderful it is, she says, that just by chanting the holy name, even a little bit, even with the tip of one's tongue, that's one is, even if one is from a low background, one becomes purified, delivered. Not only that, it's considered that if a person can say Hare Krishna, such a person has already performed all Vedic rituals, has gone through the shastras, has performed all kinds of pious activities. Can you say Hare Krishna? See. Hare Krishna. Shishi Radha Gokulananda ji ki jai, jai Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman ji ki jai, Shishi Gornitai ki jai. There are various things one can talk about, says Shukadeva Goswami. In human society, people... they're always blabbering about sports. They love to talk about sports, who they think's going to win, and then after their team lost or won, why they won or why they didn't win. To a person who has recognized the importance of the human tongue, because all kinds of living entities have tongues. Cats have tongues. Dogs have tongues. Snakes have tongues. But they can't use them to utter the holy name. And there are many people also who have human tongues, but they're not able to say Hare Krishna. That's why Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, if I hear somebody say Hare Krishna, I consider that person to be the best of all the lot. Of all the in human society, that person's exalted. Even if they say Hare Krishna, we were on that little street? Park Road. We were on Park Road yesterday going up and down canvassing for Lord Chaitanya. And there was a woman sitting on her stoop outside, actually sitting on the windowsill having a smoke. And we came over and tried to entice her into buying your ever-well wisher in every way that we possibly could. And she wouldn't budge. She was happy with her cigarette. And nonetheless, when we were leaving, I said, Hare Krishna. And she said, Hare Krishna. And then I thought, Rupa Goswami, Krishneti yasya giritam manasadrita. He says, if someone can say Hare Krishna, then in our mind, we offer our respectful obeisances to such a person. This is amazing. And as I say, the acharyas back this up very strongly. And Aho Bhattashwa Pachato Gariyan, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, Jiva Goswami all weigh in and they say this is not exaggeration. Actually, when someone says Hare Krishna, The power of the name is so purifying that a person who was born in a low situation can become purified, so much so that he or she, depending on the quality of the utterance, becomes qualified to perform Vedic sacrificial rituals. It means they're very prarabdha. The manifest karma in their life has become transformed. And so it's important to refine one's speech. And the best way to do that is to chant Hare Krishna. Even Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, Shrutyam Apau Panishadam Dure Harikatam Ritam. The utterances of the Upanishads are very far from the nectar of speaking Krishna's names and hearing Krishna's pastimes. Dure Harikatam Ritam. He said, when you read these utterances of the Upanishads, your hair doesn't stand on end, and tears don't come to your eyes. But as Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, Krishna bolbe jabe pulakabe jorbe anki bolita. If you chant the names of the Lord, then tears will come to your eyes, your hair will stand on end, there'll be complete transformation. That's what happened to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu when he accepted initiation from his guru, Srila Ishwarapuri. He started chanting and he came back later and he said, I'm just checking to see if we've made a mistake because the mantra you gave me is making me a little crazy. And his guru said, Evam vratasva priyanama kirtya jatana rago jita chuta ucha hasatyato rotiti roti gayati unvaravam rititi loka bhaya from Srimad Bhagavatam. He said, this verse expresses the essence of the Srimad Bhagavatam, which means that if you take a vow to chant Hare Krishna, Evam Vrata, Sva, Priyanama Kirtya, then the name gradually becomes very dear to you. And when the name becomes your life and soul, then your heart will begin to soften, and then Jutta Chitta will melt. This is the perfection of life. A melted heart, melted by the array of the internal energy, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, that comes from this contact with the holy name. And then there's a way in which your life becomes transformed and you're no longer a part of this material world. Even though you may be walking around here, you'll be a member of the spiritual world. This is the potency of chanting. Also, being connected to the Vaishnavas, one may just say, well, I'll just chant Hare Krishna. That's good enough for me. And of course, anybody can chant Hare Krishna. But our acharyas, particularly Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur in his commentary in the sixth canto regarding Ajamil, and Jiva Goswami, talk in his Sandarbha, talks about the way in which if you take the holy name from a Vaishnava, if you take it in the association of Vaishnavas and in particular from a Vaishnava guru, then Krishna gives special consideration. Otherwise, if that's available and you don't take it, and you just say, I'll just chant Hare Krishna myself, then Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says something astounding. He said, you're committing the third offense to the holy name, which is to disobey the orders of the spiritual master, consider him an ordinary man. So in spiritual life, it's not just what we know, it's who we know that really counts. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, describing the Sri Krishna Vijay, which is a book of poetry, which was written by Gunaraj Khan in the 14th century. And it's a book of poems that describe the pure devotional service. It was available to everybody in Bengal. And Prabhupada says, everyone should check this book out. It's very important. Even though the poetry there is irregularly composed, Mahaprabhu picked out a statement, Nanda Nandana Krishna, Mor Pranath. In the book, Gunaraj Khan says, Nanda Nandana Krishna is my life and soul. He says, E Bhakke Vikainu Tar komarahata. He says that because of this statement by Gunaraj Khan, who is a member of the community in Kulinagram, he said, therefore, everyone in that whole city is dear to me. No, not just everyone, even the dog there is dear to me. Because Gunaraj Khan made this statement, Nandanandana Krishna Mor Pratnath. So, if someone can take the holy name, which is all powerful, and take it from the association of devotees, from a Vaishnav guru, connecting one to a lineage of those who are dedicated to pure devotional service, then you get this special recognition from the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That, and it doesn't matter so much what your qualification is, but it's kind of like, you know, if you go to a big event and you're taken in by a big person, and you just get to the door and they're with me. I was like, all right, go ahead. That's Vaishnavism. We take shelter of the great souls. And we're just with him. So the initiation has practical implications of joining the Vaishnava Sangha in a very deliberate way. The taking of a new name, which we read yesterday, as Prabhupada states in a purport, that when taking Vaishnava initiation, one must change one's name. And what's in a name? There's a lot. We were taking people's names yesterday, and they were some of them were a little bit nervous about it. It's like, what are you going to use this for? Well, once we know who you are and where you live, we'll be in touch. And so there's a lot in a name. There's a lot in Krishna's name. In fact, the various kinds of names that Krishna has are mentioned by Haridas Thakur. He said there's primary names, secondary names. Secondary names have to do, like Paramatma, to do with Jagadishwar, to do with the Srishti Lila, the living entity's involvement in the material world. But the primary names, like Nandanandana, and Krishna, and Gopijana Balava, these are like nicknames. Vishwambhar Prabhu, do you have any nickname? You don't have to say. Anybody here? Nobody wants to admit it? Okay. Prabhu, thank you. Give him a hand. He's such a brave soul. The thing is, if you're walking somewhere in a foreign country and someone leans out the window and then utters your nickname from two stories up, what will you do? You'll spin around and you'll say, who said that? Who knows me? So these names, this initiation, receiving the name, is receiving these intimate names of Krishna. And not only that, what the feeling is behind them, that this all comes through the Srimad Bhagavatam and the Chaitanya Charitamrita. When you receive a name of Krishna as your namesake, in other words, that becomes your new identity, that you're servant of that name. And also you take the name as your life and soul, chanting. You're perfectly lined up with the instructions of the Shastra. And not only that, you're connected to Krishna in a very intimate way. This is the sweetness of Vaishnavism, taking shelter of Krishna. So several points. One is that be afraid of material existence. And very specifically, this can be refined in the way that when you take initiation, you're vowing not just to chant Hare Krishna, minimum 16 rounds a day, but also to be afraid of committing any of the offenses, especially offenses against Vaishnavas. You can just sign a sheet that says, I opt out of the process of criticizing Vaishnavas, and no one can fault you. Raghunath Bhatta Goswami had signed such a statement. I'll criticize Vaishnavas for no reason at all to criticize Vaishnavas. I completely avoid it for any reason. So this is important, to be afraid of making offenses, because that is what can waylay our progress in devotional service. And so please feel free to avoid any kind of criticism of Vaishnavas. Of course, you wouldn't do it personally, but even by associating with those who do, you have my permission and the permission of the Shastra and Raghunath Bhatta Goswami to avoid that situation altogether. Is that okay? I need a verbal yes. Just like when you're in the emergency aisle, they say, need a verbal yes, that you know you're sitting in the emergency aisle, and in case of emergency, you have to open the emergency door. Can we have a verbal yes? Thank you very much. And
yes.
Thank you. See, that's meaningful. You know, when we're in an assembly of devotees and Krishna is personally here and we make these intentions, this changes our life. Our intention changes our life, and that's what you're doing here today. So this is vital. And then study the 10 offenses very carefully. You can look at them. We do say them, but oftentimes we go through them so fast. But feel free to look at them and think about how to organize life in such a way to stay free from the 10 offenses. If you do that and chant your minimum number of rounds every day without fail, then you'll make rapid progress in devotional service, without a doubt. And also, it's vitally important to hear from the acharyas, especially from Srila Prabhupada, every day from his books, like Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, Nectar Devotion, Nectar of Instruction, Shusha Upanishad, Teachings of Lord Chaitanya, Krishna book, and so on. There's a finite number of books, and if you keep your attention focused on these and hear from them every day, it will inform you in such a way as you'll be able to stay above the fray of the material world. So these are several things. One is keep very steady in your vow to chant Hare Krishna. Study the 10 offenses and be afraid of them. This fear, as we spoke about before, is a healthy fear. It helps burn off our attachment to the material world. And third thing, read Srila Prabhupada's books. You have to be informed, because every day we change. And we're not the same person we are in the morning that we were at night. You know, you go to bed at night with the best intentions, you wake up in the morning, and next thing you know, your mind's got you going in a different direction, right? So you have to hear every day. These are highly recommended. So now we'd like to have a few words from at least one of your mentors. Radha Govinda Prabhu, are you here? Prabhu, yes. I've heard that you were the one who first showed her the path when she came here. Literally, you showed her around the temple and then have instructed her since that time. Would you please give us some sure. color commentary?
Sure. How long do I have?
Well, we need at least 1 minute for the yajna, so...
All right.
No, you'd have a couple minutes.
Okay, so... I'm actually very happy that Anna's getting initiated today. I'm not a mentor, just so you know. Mentors were Jagat Priya Mataji and later Kripamoya Prabhu. So, I think this was about 4 years ago, 4 or 5 years ago, that 2015, when Anna first came to a temple and she emailed, she said, I want to visit the temple. I said, yeah, why don't you come along for Sunday morning for breakfast? We'll take breakfast together. I'll show you around. So that time I showed her around. And then, you know, when I was distributing books and stuff, I was trying out this new line, as everyone tries out. So my line was, oh, you look really spiritual. You know, you got this aura. You got this aura around you. I mean, so then Anna came and we took breakfast. And I told Anna, you know, you're looking really spiritual. Like, what do you do? And she goes, like, really? I'm like... yeah. I was like, wow, that's amazing. And anyway, so that happened. And then, you know, I gave her a tour. And a few days later, she came back. She said, You know, you told me the other day that I look really spiritual. Is that like true, or were you just like saying? I'm like, no, that's, of course it's true. It's totally, I can tell I'm a monk. You know, like that's it. So then she was like, yeah, you know what, I was thinking the same thing. I also feel very spiritual, you know. And I'm like, great, have you tried chanting? So since then, that was the beginning of Krishna consciousness. I think she was very inquisitive right from the start. And then from that day, she picked up chanting. She took up chanting and following Krishna consciousness very seriously, very fast, actually. And I was kind of afraid at one point that she's going too fast. Maybe she needs to slow down. But I think since the last 4 years, she's never slowed down. She doesn't live close. She lives in Stevenage, which is like about an hour. But then she became so interested, she started coming for Mangalati. So I don't know what time she was waking up, 2 o'clock or something. And then she used to come for Mangalati. She used to stay till 7 o'clock. Then she used to drive all the way back to Stevenage to go to work. And she used to do her full day of work, then drive back to the temple for the programs that we used to do here, and then drive all the way back. And that, I think she did that for like a few months or a year, or maybe even more. And she was just chanting. Yeah, and the chanting was going on. At this time, she was chanting 16 rounds. Then at one point, she decided she doesn't want to work outside. She wants to do service at the temple. So then again, it was the same thing. She used to come early, stay for Mangalati. This time, stay for class. And you could tell she was tired because she was always falling asleep in Bhagavatam class. But she'd still push it through and then do a full day of service here. And then, you know, in the evening, stay for the program. So like literally from like 4:30 to like 7 or 8 in the evening, she used to just be here doing stuff. And she still does service at the manor. So she's very dedicated. I know Anna's life over time, we've spoken quite a few times. And she's been through many ups and downs and difficulties in her life and recently also. But she's never stopped chanting. She's never stopped practicing. And she's very, very dedicated. If anything, all her problems have only made her stronger in Krishna consciousness. So it's actually amazing. She's a special soul, because for somebody to take up Krishna consciousness so fast, so quickly, and still be steady and grow in Krishna consciousness is actually quite an achievement. So good luck to you. I wish you well. And you got the perfect guru. So Hare Krishna.
Okay. Yeah, really quick though. Because I'm. Please.
Hare Krishna. My wife, she said she sent her apology, but she's watching the whole thing online. She's not well, but she wanted to fulfill your request to be here. But she asked me to say a few words about you, if there is anything. She's a wonderful devotee. I gave you a little brief yesterday. My wife, she's not a very critical person, and also she's not a glorifying person. She's very introspective, she made so many remarks, beautiful remarks about Ann, because she's been working with her on the marriage bureau. And even though she was struggling financially, she was doing a lot of service for my wife. And she's very similar, actually, very introspective and very good sadhana, and she's quite intelligent lady, very intelligent. Sometimes, a calm lake runs very deep. She's a quite deep person. I think my wife said, you know, that she chose very wisely to follow the path of the Mahajan. You know, you are a good devotee, and she's in good hands. So she said, she sent all the blessings to you, and she's watching online. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna.
First thing I noticed about Anna is that she actually turns up to meetings.
Wow. That's a big deal.
And she comes on time. In fact, I questioned whether she'd make a good devotee because she was so punctual. But she is... we have a verse, Shushu Shoshadadanasya, the absolute truth becomes revealed to the seriously inquisitive student. So Anna is seriously inquisitive. She's got questions. She likes to have answers. And she's interested in detail, which is all very important because the devil is in the detail and Krishna is in the detail. Please never stop asking questions, Anna. Always be inquisitive. Initiation means the beginning, not the end. It's the end of 4 years, but it's the opening up of another chapter. And it's a big book. Big book of life. You're in very good hands. And very happy to see you here this morning. All my blessings. Hare Krishna.
Can you move that? And is there anybody else that we would be remiss if they were here and they didn't speak? Okay, so now Nirakula Devi Dasi is putting Tulsi neck beads on Bhaktin Anna. And anywhere you go, if you wear these neck beads, someone will inevitably walk up to you and say, Hari Bol. And then you'll be shocked and you'll remember, oh, I'm a devotee, I better be careful. It's important to show externally. There are various stages of initiation. The first one is called tapa, which means turning away from the material world, starting to look inwardly towards one's journey back home, back to God. And the second is called pundra, which means urvapundra, or wearing external signs of a Vaishnav, like neck beads and tilak and so forth, which... people become very fascinated with and spiritually benefited by. And the next one is called Nama, which means not only taking a vow to chant the holy name of the Lord, but accepting a new name, just like in the America, the Federal Witness Protection Service. When somebody goes up, bears witness against the mob, then they give them a new name and a new place. So same thing when you turn against Maya. We give you a new name so you can be perpetually in hiding. After that comes mantra, or receiving the esoteric mantras passed down through our disciplic succession, and then yoga, which means to perform deity worship. So initiation is a process, not just an event, and it's a beginning. So... Bhakti Nana, would you please come and... If someone could put an os on here for her and make sure she has a microphone. So, the more I get to know you, especially through the devotees, the more I see how dedicated you are, and it's really a heartfelt connection. I feel fortunate to have the service of helping you in your path back to Godhead, keeping you connected to Prabhupada's teachings and to the process of devotional service. I take it as a grave responsibility and a joyful one. I'm so happy that these devotees have spoken about you so wonderfully. It's not an easy thing to do, to attract the attention of the devotees in such a way. So thank you very much for dedicating your life to Krishna consciousness and to serving the devotees. Please, could you tell all the devotees here, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Srila Prabhupada, and in fact, you just turn a little bit this way there. Like that. That's good. Which vows you intended to make here today?
no meat eating, no eggs, no onion, no garlic, no illicit sex, no gambling.
Starts with an
no
I.
No intoxication. And to chant a minimum of 16 rounds every day.
Okay, thank you very much. And just consider very deeply about eschewing criticism of anyone, but especially of Vaishnavas, and especially in writing on the internet. And please also consider taking very seriously making reading Prabhupada's books your life and soul. And again, read them, stay close to them. He'll deliver you through his instructions, through all the complexities of life, if you do that. Is that okay? Thank you very much. Thank you. Oh, here they are. Okay. Following the eternal principle of parampara, taking Srila Prabhupada's and Lord Chaitanya's order to expand the Sankirtan movement as my life and soul, and depending on their mercy, the mercy of the previous acharyas and all the Vaishnava devotees of the Lord who are like desire trees, I am exceedingly pleased to accept you as my disciple and therefore a grand disciple of His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, and a member of the Brahma Madhva Gaudiya Sampradaya. May all the previous acharyas and the ocean of mercy, Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, shower you with their grace. This is a certificate proving that you received initiation. And I hereby very joyfully award you the name Ananya Bhava Dasi. Ananya Bhava Dasi Ki Jai. Take this.